When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back. Congratulations, you are back with District Baseball once again as we continue on with our ranking seasons today, tackling the top third baseman in baseball. I won't say it, even though it is a jam-packed episode, it's not quite as a jam-packed episode. We'll be able to talk about these guys a little bit more in depth than we did last week. But before we get to that, Trey, what's going on, my friend?
Nothing much. Just excited to bring our opinions to the third base group here, because I've been seeing a lot of takes on the internet, and I've got some thoughts, so we'll just
do they come from the same cluster of MLB or MLB fans that believed Spencer Strider was the Cy Young Award winner?
You know, it might have something to do with the same fan base, but we'll see.
I kind of got that vibe, but yeah, like you said, we'll touch on that. A little housekeeping. We were just discussing, you know, before we start recording behind the scenes, we'll do our kind of like all encompassing Nats episode / other MLB moves. That's coming out next week. So I know you guys have been asking for it. That's on the way with the Nats, as you know, our Nats fan base can attest to. It's been real slow. So it's like, rather than doing bits and pieces little bit by little bit as the news trickles in, we're just doing one big one. And obviously, as you guys, I'm sure, have been following on Twitter, there's a little bit more to talk about with the Masson situation, the Orioles sale, how that impacts the Nationals, how that impacts the Nationals potential sale. Well, we're going to dive all into that next week. It is going to be an audio only episode. So for our YouTube subscribers, be sure to check us out at District Baseball, wherever you get your podcasts, you know, Apple, Spotify, our iHeartRadio, we're on all the platforms. So be sure to subscribe to us there as well, so you don't miss anything. But that'll be a little audio exclusive episode that we'll dive into. No restraints, you know, we're going to go off on plenty of tangents and cover it all. So I just wanted to touch on that. But today we are continuing on with ranking seasons as we tackle the top 10 third baseman. So let's get into it. And Trey, I think this is kind of what you were alluding to. We're going to start at number one, as we have been doing. And to me, it's still pretty clear cut. It is a conversation. I'm more than willing to have a conversation, right? But it doesn't go very far for me. I'm not very moved, because the number one guy, the person you had at number one, I had at number one, and then obviously we have collectively at number one, has been there, done that, been doing it, right? He's not just like, oh, he had one great year. This guy's been doing it for years now. Got paid by a city, by a franchise that does not pay people. That's how good he is. And I think he's still underrated and undervalued somehow, which is beyond me. But Jose Ramirez is number one on our list, and I'm not all that inclined to move him.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think people, we've been saying it for years, so it shouldn't be the case anymore, but he's still underrated. He still somehow gets overlooked, and I don't understand. When you look at the F4 list for the last three seasons, who's at the top? Jose Ramirez. I don't understand bouncing him for the next guy, who I agree, there's a conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think we have to wait for Jose Ramirez to fall down a little bit before we really start having those conversations, because he's only 31, just turned 31, and he hasn't slowed down at all. So I don't see why you'd move him. We had him as in our top three last year. It was him and Arenado and Machado, and he was the only one that stuck with that great play. That all three of those guys were
almost identical numbers.
Yeah.
Maybe a slight dip, but not too much where you would be concerned.
Yeah. And the thing about Ramirez as well he's a five tool guy. Like he has the fielding. He's a good fielder, not the best, but he's good. He's
declined in recent years. I'll concede that point, well, but yeah, it's still good.
I'll agree with that. Great base runner, has the stolen base, switch hitter, hits for power, hits for average, does it all. And that's why I think he should not be getting bounced from the number one spot. Having said that, the number two spot is Austin Riley, and he's excellent. Let's not get that twisted. He's a young guy. He's entering his age 27 season. And he has made extreme improvements to become a more well-rounded player because he was always a really good hitter. He cut down the strikeouts to make himself more of a contact-oriented guy as well as the power. And he's gotten way better on defense. And he's a solid base runner. I mean, he doesn't steal bases, but he's smart. So I think there's something to be said about that. But I can't bounce Jose Ramirez for Austin Riley at this point. Now, if Ramirez does have a drop-off at some point, then yeah, Austin Riley moves into that one spot because he's young and he's just continuing to play well. So and he's super consistent as well. He's pretty much put up this exact season 3 years in a row. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm shit talking Austin Riley, because I'm not, but I'm just trying to elevate Jose Ramirez to the pedestal that he deserves.
Right. I'm on the same page. I think you also have to remember that for all intents and purposes, this is, like, by this, I mean 2023, the worst team that Jose Ramirez has played on. And that kind of brings everything down a notch. Like, you've heard players like Christian Yelich, even Josh Bell when he was traded here, which is hilarious in hindsight, considering how bad this team was. But they talked about how when you're doing poorly, it just kind of brings everything down. Like, you're not as motivated. Obviously, you know, you look at a kind of a team stat like RBIs, those numbers are going to be a little bit lower when your team's not doing as well and guys aren't on base in front of you, all things of that nature. But the stats we can control, right? You know, the home runs, the K rate, the walk rate, like all of those have remained steady for Jose Ramirez. So that's really why I'm not inclined to drop him. But to your point, like, Austin Riley has basically been doing this steadily for 3 years, at least offensively, while his defense has improved. Like, his defense was below average when he entered the league with the Braves and has steadily improved year after year. And, you know, keeping his strikeout rate, like, it's not great, but it's serviceable, especially if you're hitting near 40 bombs and, you know, doing the damage that he does. For me, it's, I don't know, it's like, I'll ask you this. Say Jose Ramirez has the same season again in 2024, like almost mere stats of 2023. What does Austin Riley have to do to take over that one spot?
I think he's got to.
Or does he?
I feel like he could. If Ramirez had the same exact season, it was about a 5-WAR season. Really good. Really good season. But if Austin Riley, let's say, elevates himself to be in that MVP conversation,
that's kind of what I'm thinking.
He could jump over Ramirez. But at this point, I think Jose Ramirez is probably still going to be in an MVP conversation. So I don't know.
Right.
If they're both in the conversation, then I don't move anything. But yeah.
And that's the internal dialogue I've been having in my head. It's like, what does Austin Riley need to do? Because I'll admit, like, and I talked about this last week, and, you know, maybe it's just a Braves bias thing, because the Braves are my most hated team in baseball. Like, I didn't believe in Austin Riley when it came up. Like, yeah, he was hitting bombs, but he was striking out like almost 40% of the time and was barely hitting above 200. He was terrible. And then 2020 happened. It is what it is. Like, that's just kind of a throwaway year for everyone. And I think part of me still has some of that narrative in my head, but like, now I'm fully admitting that he's a top two third baseman in baseball. And there's at least an argument for him to be number one. Like, I had him ranked number two.
Yeah.
You had him ranked number two.
When he elevates to that MVP conversation, because Jose Ramirez has been in the MVP conversation, and Manny Machado has been in the MVP conversation, and Nolan Arenado has been in that. So we need Austin Riley to get to that once. And then you're like, okay, he's legit. And then you can maybe start thinking about putting him at number one.
Yeah. I think for him, like, the toughest part for him is just his team. You know,
he gets lost.
Two, three other guys on that team alone that might be, you know, in the MVP conversation, you know, Acuna, Matt Olson, maybe some other guys, you know, elevate their game as well. But then you have like some really good hitters you know, Sean Murphy's a good hitter. Ozzie Albies is a good hitter. Michael Harris Jr. And I mean, I hate him, but like Marcelo Zuna is still putting up 30 bombs a year. So it's like, it's very easy to get lost in the shuffle. So, you know, that, and that's why I pose this question. It's like, Austin Riley's doing, it's not like he's doing poorly.
He's excellent.
Like, yeah. So it's, you know, I don't think it's through any fault of his own, but let's say this, if he puts up like, you know, 110 RBIs, 40 home runs, you know, the defense takes another small step forward, he cuts down the K rate a little bit more. I think that's when we, like, I really feel the pressure, like assuming Jose Ramirez, his stats stay the same. But right now, like, it's just, they're 1-2. Mm-hmm. They just are. No one else, at least right now, is really close. There's a couple guys that could be, but they need to bounce back, or, you know, also need to take their game to the next level. But Austin Riley is very, very good. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, we
anyone's denying.
It sounds like some of this could be like acting like we're disparaging him, but he's moving up our list from,
yes,
I think, number 4 or 5 last year. So like he's still going up. He's still really young. He just has to elevate one more time, and then I would be willing to put him at number one.
Agreed.
Or consider it, at least.
Yeah. Speaking of bad teams, this was a team that severely underperformed last year, and I can only imagine had an impact on the entire team and the kind of chaos I can only imagine was in that clubhouse. Manny Machado comes in at number 3. And I think in general, if someone, you know, if I'm having a conversation with someone, they're like, Manny Machado is the best third baseman in baseball. I don't hate that take. I don't hate it. I don't agree with it, but I don't hate it.
We would have agreed last year.
Right.
I'm pretty sure we put him at one.
Yeah, I think we did. As he was hitting that bomb in the World Baseball Classic, that clip.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But, you know, you see 30 home runs, 91 RBIs. His K rate actually went down to a very impressive, like, 18%. Like, that's honestly, an exceptional K rate for someone who's hitting the power or hitting the ball the way Manny Machado does with power. It's just, it was almost disappointing because it wasn't the Manny Machado we've come to know. Or like the batting average dropped 40 points, the OBP dropped 50 points, the slugging dropped 70 points. But all in all, like, it wasn't a terrible season. He missed some games, he was injured a little bit. So, you know, maybe that impacted things, but like, it wasn't the Manny Machado standard. So even though he's 3, it doesn't feel like the same level of top 3 that we've previously put Manny Machado at.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I will say that Machado he's consistent in his inconsistency, in that he has these hills and valleys in his career. And mm-hmm. the reason that we keep him this high is because he just had a valley, which means he's probably going up the hill.
He's due.
So,
and his defense hasn't waned.
Yeah, defense is still excellent. So that's,
yeah.
And he was number 6 in WAR for third baseman. So he was still very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bat just took a slight step down compared to his otherworldly hitting season in 2022. But I'm expecting that to go back up. So I could see him putting another 2022 season up in 2024, because that's kind of what he does. He just likes to show up for the odd year, I guess. I don't really understand why, but that's how it is. So we didn't feel like it was necessary to move him super far down based on one still pretty good season. I mean, it just wasn't Manny Machado.
Right.
But he's still excellent and deserves the number 3 spot until further notice.
Agreed, for sure, number 3. All right, 4 through 6 is really where we get into like the next complex conversation, because obviously it's just me and you doing these rankings. We're gonna have some ties. We're gonna have some tiebreakers. We actually had a 3-way tie for the first time ever in our rankings. The first of which is Alex Bregman, who just gets the 4 spot due to WAR or F-WAR. That's the tiebreaker we use. Whoever has the highest career F-WAR, you know, gets that higher spot. So Bregman being the elder statesman of this trio gets this number 4 spot, even though 4 through 6 are interchangeable for us. Listen, Bregman, solid player. And you know, we talked about this earlier, like his career is just so skewed by 18 and 19, where they were clearly cheating. And I know you can't take those seasons out, but if you kind of just take a step back and look at everything else, you see a like a solid but not MVP level player. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where my view is of him. Like, yes, he cheated, and yes, those numbers are outstanding, but we haven't seen anything close to that since, right? He hit 31 home runs in 2018, 41 in 2019. Right. And obviously the RBI numbers came with that, and the strikeout numbers went down. Although, you know, his strikeout numbers are pretty good regardless. But like his next career high in home runs is 25. So you're saying 6 below 2018 and 16 below 2019 while you're still in your prime. Like, I just don't believe you, you know? So if we're just looking at this, like, from last year, 25 home runs, 98 RBIs, you know, an 800-ish OPS, like, fine player, fine defense, you know, firmly in that middle of the pack of the top 10. I'm just not wowed. And that's kind of just where I'm at. Like, until I know he can do it without cheating, I'm not going to believe he can, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so there's no reason to believe it.
Right. Right. Whereas, yeah, some of the other guys we'll talk about here in a second, they have a way higher ceiling than Alex Bregman, like a way higher ceiling. So that's kind of where I had Bregman down. Or no, we both have him at 5. So neither of us had him at 4, but ironically, he comes in at 4. What are your thoughts on Bregman?
You pretty much nailed it. I mean, it's just based on the fact that we don't know what player he really is. This is probably closer to what he really is. You can't say definitively that he only had those seasons because he was cheating or they were cheating or whatever. But Altuve's had seasons since then that are similar, and Bregman has not.
Right.
And that's the difference, is when you see that and you see that he hasn't made anywhere close to that level of power hitting, especially. Now, having said that, great player. I mean, if you're going to give me 4 WAR every year, you're going to give me solid defense, sure, you're going to hit, you're going to get on base, you're not going to strike out, I'm taking it. It's just like, he can't move past number 4 or any, he can't move into the top.
I don't even feel great with him at 4.
Yeah, like, me
I
either.
I'm going to change my rankings to have him lower.
I know. And that's probably because it just feels wrong, because just looking at the numbers, it's pretty obvious that he benefited heavily from their system, but still really good. So it's tough, but I'm okay with him there, but any higher would be a problem for me.
Yeah. Like I said, a 4 is even a little too high for me.
My
number 4, who I had on my list, and I know we're going to talk about the defense, I know we're going to talk about some level of inconsistency, but for me, you know, the offensive output combined with, if he can just play replacement level defense. And I know even that's kind of like a lot to ask right now, although 2022 wasn't bad. Rafael Devers comes in at number 5 for us. You had him 6. I had him 4. I really like his offensive profile. Obviously, we've seen some massive seasons from him. And I think, you know, as I've been talking about with a couple of other guys, like the Red Sox just being in a state of purgatory and misery right now, like, what the hell are they doing? You know, they're a huge market acting like they're the Washington Nationals or, you know, the Oakland A's or Tampa Bay Rays or anything or whatever. But I still think Rafael Devers deserves a lot of love and recognition. Last year wasn't his best, but it was still a 33 home run, 100 RBI type year, and it hit a mid 800s OPS. If you want, obviously, we have to factor in the defense. The defense is not great. We could see a position change, maybe first base. I don't know how he would necessarily translate there. They have Tristan Casas, so maybe not. Maybe they just look to make him a DH, but they have a couple of guys that are already kind of that DH-ish profile as opposed to a fielder. So, you know, I think the defense will be the thing holding him back from like a top 3, top 2 spot, unless it can improve, which it looked like for a second it was, but then it really took a step back last year. The entire Red Sox team defense was awful last year.
Yeah.
But again, I don't want to like discount or forget about Rafael Devers, because I think he can put up, if we're just going off top 10 list offensive season, it would not shock me if he has the best offensive season this year.
You know, I think his offensive ceiling is far higher than Alex right. Bregman's. Even yes. though, you know, Bregman's had those seasons, we know why he had those seasons. Devers has had hitting seasons that were much better than this, and I think that he can do it again. He's only 27. He's 27. That's actually insane.
Devers is 3 years younger than Bregman and already has four seasons higher than, or four seasons with more home runs than any non-cheating season that Bregman has.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about. Like, I can remember him hitting Aroldis Chapman, taking Aroldis Chapman's 102 the opposite way as like a 19-year-old rookie. And
yeah.
I feel like that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, time. Offensive ceiling is way higher for Devers. This is honestly a low end offensive season for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm expecting him to go up offensively. But yeah, the defense is obviously, it's always going to be an issue with him. It's just, he's just not that good over there. But if he can hit good enough, then and play, like you said, just maybe replacement level, not even, doesn't have to be average, just like not the worst, then
right.
I think you're going to accept that with open arms. At number six on our list, by the way, was my pick for number four, Mr. Gunnar Henderson, who we mentioned last week, because we don't actually mm-hmm. know what their plan is, if they're going to end up playing him at shortstop, if they're going to play him at third base, bring up Holiday. I don't know.
Right.
Nobody knows.
Holiday's going to be up at some point. It's just when.
Yeah, and depends where he played. They could put him at second. They have a lot of options, so we'll have to wait and see. But Henderson, obviously being a rookie last year and being as good as he was, gives me a lot of hope that he's just going to improve. And I think the only thing that you can really point at in his game is the K rate, which is 25%, which is not
manageable.
That's still a manageable thing, but he has, yeah. I think his ceiling is higher for his K. I feel like he can bring that down under 20% and still maintain his power as he continues to progress in his career, because he was a rookie last year. I'm thinking he'll take another slight step forward. If he doesn't, it's honestly, who cares, because he was still really good. If he has the same season again as a young guy, I don't think anyone's going to complain about it. So I can understand why you had him at six, because obviously you will probably want to just see more,
yep.
make sure that everything's
that's
all
literally
good
all it is. I won't yep. say one negative thing about him. I just want to see one more season like this.
Yep.
That's all.
Give us the show.
I know I kind of spoke more of the negatives with Bregman, but like, before I put you over someone who's been doing it for 8 years, even, like, it's crazy to think about, even Rafael Devers has been doing it for like 7 years now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, before I jump the gun and put you above either one of those guys, just show me one more. Yeah, and then I'm right there.
Before we jump
right
the
gunner. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was good.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, that's
corny. All right. Anyways,
I'm all aboard the Gunner train, and I think, let's say Jackson Holliday does play short, I think that's really only going to help Gunner because it's just two young guys. I actually don't know if they played together in the minor leagues. Maybe Jackson Holliday was just a smidge behind Gunner. When was Holliday drafted? 21?
No, 22. He came up like he Christ. Soared through the mine. Like he was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Last year.
So, and Gunner debuted in 22. So I don't know if they actually played together, but regardless, you know, they're effectively, well, Gunner's not a rookie anymore. Two young guys on the left side of the infield. I think they're going to mesh really well together. And I think that's only going to help Gunner.
Yeah. So. And like we said, our 4-6 is pretty much interchangeable.
Yeah.
But heading on to our 7-10 at number 7 is a guy that's been doing it for a long time who struggled last year. He just wasn't good, honestly. I mean, he was good. Like, I'm not going to complain about his season.
He just wasn't to his standard,
but this is not this guy. And that's Nolan Arenado. Mm-hmm. Now I think, Arenado probably overperformed his offense last season when he had his crazy 7-WAR
in 2022 season. Yeah,
but I wasn't necessarily expecting him to come crashing this hard down to earth with his offensive numbers. Only had a 107 WRC plus, only 26 homers for Arenado, which is not that much. Slugging was 459, which is definitely below his career standard. And he struck out more. He had brought his K rate down to, you know, 10, 11. He was kind of up more 16, which is still really good, by the way, but it's higher than it was. So that's just a kind of something to look at and be like, that's a little concerning. But the weirdest part was the defense was just average. And that's definitely weird. I still want to give him a chance to show that he's not going to go on a decline here, but he is getting into his 30s. Sometimes it can be hard to hit in St. Louis. So maybe that's something that's come through, but I'm definitely willing to keep him up on the top 10 because he is Nolan Arenado. He's been that guy. He had a not amazing season in 21 when he got traded and then had a great season. So maybe he goes kind of odd year like Machado and we see him have a big year again this year. So he could still totally have a big season. But I'm getting a slightly concerned. Let's just say that.
Yeah. So for me, I don't want to say expected, but like take out the 2022 season just for a second. I obviously don't want to take it out because that helps our argument. It doesn't hurt it. 2021 and 2023 were near identical seasons in a lot of respect. The only big difference was the slugging percentage dropped, which can be accounted to 8 fewer home runs, which you mentioned. But like 112 WRC plus to 107 WRC plus within like the margin, the range of outcomes that you would kind of expect, like building off of a 112 WRC plus season. It's certainly not the 130 WRC plus seasons he was having in Colorado. But again, that might be due to age. Like he's in his 30s now. He's getting a little bit older. Obviously, you know, as guys get older, the range of motion, I'm not trying to say, you know, Arenado's like falling apart or anything like that, like he's a 45-year-old Tom Brady or anything like that, but you know, he was making plays that didn't make sense, and now he's
for years
just, right? So it's like now he's just kind of like making the routine plays as you know you would kind of want your third baseman to do, and he's not making the exceptional ones anymore. And so that might be, you know, the natural progression of decline, but he's still very much a top 10 third baseman. For me, it's I'm hoping he has one more 2022 season in the tank.
Yeah, and it feels I think he possibly does.
It feels like it has to come now because you don't want to wait till you're 34, 35, 36 to do that. And the reason being, he's at a 54 career WAR right now. in my opinion, I think Nolan Arenado is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Like if he retired today, like maybe he falls a little bit short because the, you know, the committee is a bunch of snobs, but like, I think he's a Hall of Famer. Like I believe it. I've always believed it. I've never believed in the Coors effect. So I've just wanted him to prove it. And I thought after 2022, like he definitely was on his way. The second year bump, obviously playing a huge part of that. And like you said, he came back down in 2023. So I just need one more season. Give me a 5-war season, get close to 60 or even better, get above 60. And I'm feeling really good. Add a couple war here and there over your last final years. And I think he's a no doubt Hall of Famer. But I'm not writing him off just yet. I do think there is some kind of natural decline probably in his power, in his range. So we might need to readjust our expectations from that top three third baseman to what he is going to look like the next couple of years.
Yep. And yeah, I agree. One more big season, lock him in as a Hall of Famer. Yeah. And he probably doesn't even necessarily need it, but it would pretty much guarantee. And then, okay, so our number eight, I actually did a lot of research into this guy. Because I was curious.
I could tell you did.
I was curious about his season because it's interesting. But Isak Paredes is our number eight choice. He is a very young player as well. I didn't realize how young he was, but he's only 24. Had a great season. I think he had, by WRC Plus, qualified best hitter out of all these third basemen. 137 WRC Plus, gets on base, hits for power. Interesting season because you look at the raw, like, metrics and you're kind of sitting here like, what? He doesn't barrel the ball, he doesn't hit it hard, he doesn't hit it, like, what's going on here? And then I did a little bit more research. He is a prime example of why you pull the baseball in the air if you want to hit for power and you don't have a ton
go
of
watch
power.
That TikTok slash short tells you everything you need to know.
I made a little short about it, but yeah, so he pulls the ball in the air, and that's why he's able to overperform his numbers. If he can continue to do that at this rate, I can see him continuing to be a good hitter. But it's definitely dependent on his numbers. But he pulls the ball 50% of the time. He hits the ball in the air almost 50% of the time. That's probably a good thing for hitting home runs. So if he can continue to execute like that, I think he'll be around this list for a while. His defense needs improvement, but he's not terrible. And I think that he can improve because, like I said, this is a very young player. I didn't realize how young he was. 24, 20, I think he's going to be 25 this year at some point during the season. So really young guy. I'm excited to see if he can continue to do this because I love weird players. But what are your thoughts on Paredes?
Yeah. Like, you know, not super advanced, but like K rate, super manageable. If it's below 20, I'm feeling real good, especially with the power numbers he's been putting up. He put the power numbers up in 2022 as well, like 20 home runs in 111 games. So I'm not worried about like him being a one-year wonder with the power because he has 52 home runs over the last basically just over, you know, season and a half worth of games played. So I'm feeling pretty good in that regard. I don't know how sustainable it is. And a lot of it is due to the things you just mentioned. If I know you're trying to pull the ball in the air, I'm going to put you low and away, you know, and then what are you going to do? So I think now that the book's out on him a little bit, how does he adjust? Is he still going to be able to do what, you know, he wants to do? I think he's going to be fine, but is he going to put up 137 WRC plus season? I don't think so. So it's just, where does it fall? Where does it come crashing down to? Is it, you know, an egregious fall? I could see that. I don't expect it, but I could definitely see it. Or does it look more like 2022 where, you know, he didn't hit for average, but the power was still there? Like, so for me, I'm just trying to figure out what that's going to look like. So I'm, you know, I can fully admit that he had a great season last year and he is getting the Gunnar Henderson treatment from me. Like, just show me one more season.
And yeah, I think that's totally fair with him.
Then I'll kind of adjust accordingly. But for now, I am a little bit more skeptical on him than I am someone like Gunnar, just because, like you said, like he has a very clear approach at the plate and it worked well for him. And I think there's at least half the league that could benefit from that approach. But for him specifically, again, the book's kind of out on him now. how do pitchers pitch to him? How does he adjust? I'm looking at that, and then we'll kind of see where he falls. So I had him down at 9. You had him at 7. I couldn't put him over Arenado. I thought you were batshit for that, for what it's
worth. Yeah, well, I think you're that's a fair point, because he does have all these things have to go well for him.
Yeah,
to have this basically kind of season. Yeah. But this is what he's done in his career. So I'm hoping he can continue that pace, but I do understand you want to see another full season of that, before you definitively lock him in.
It's also insane. I don't know what Paredes was as a prospect, like what his profile was, how high he ever ranked or anything like that, but it's insane to me that he can go, all right, let me do the math. 57 games in over 2 years with Detroit, one being the COVID year, which was odd, but 57 games, only 2 home runs. Right. And, you know, the splits were nothing to write home about. They're actually pretty awful. Tampa Bay trades for him and he explodes. Like, how they can't keep getting away with
they
this.
Can't like, keep getting, but they do.
Junior Caminero was a nobody that they, I think he was a player to be named later while that still exists. Or he was just kind of some throw in trade. And I was like the number 3 ranked prospect in baseball. Like, yeah. What is going on in Tampa and why is everyone not doing what they're doing? It makes no sense.
Their lab is pretty nuts.
It's insane.
Yeah, they always
like
they,
the Captain America super soldier serum or something.
They always find something where there's seemingly nothing. So it's pretty
sense.
Well, I wouldn't have expected Paredes to be able to do this if I saw him in Detroit, but somehow they knew.
Yeah, so exactly.
Good for them, I guess. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Number 9 on our list, Matt Chapman, who is still unsigned. No idea what's going on.
Still,
this feels like a 2018, 2019 offseason as opposed to the last few off seasons where we actually got movement in a, you know, appropriate manner.
Matt Chapman, 8th.
Yeah, it's spring training's literally next week. Literally next week. All right. So Matt Chapman, the thing with Matt Chapman, I'll be short and sweet with this. He's been the same player his entire career. Like, I think 2019, 2020, when we were doing this list, it's like, oh, can Matt Chapman cut his K rate down? Can he, you know, this, do that? The answer is no. He's going to strike out like above average in terms of third baseman. And sometimes the strikeout numbers are going to be a lot, although it's been better since he's been with Toronto. He had that 36 home run year, but typically it's going to settle in that 20-25 mark. Last year was a little bit lower because he only played in 140 games. He had 17. Like, his offense is not what you're getting him for. That's just kind of like, can you be above average offensively? Because we want you to be the best, arguably the best defensive player in baseball, not just at third base. Like, he has a platinum glove in his resume. He's getting older, and you know, there might be some of that. Arenado like doesn't quite have the range. I think he's still going to be fine. I still think he's worth, if a team wants to pay him, you know, 25, I don't know if I would go to 30, but $25 million a year, I'm fine with that. But you know, for me, it's like we were trying to figure out if Matt Chapman was going to make that leap into top 3, you know.
Yeah, contention. We
I'm not back trying to make that argument anymore. I just know he's comfortably top 10. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think this is probably the lowest I've had him in several years. And that's more just due to guys like Gunner, guys like Austin Riley making a big jump, you know, and obviously Isak Paredes, you know, having the season he had. But I'm still fully comfortable with the Matt Chapman top 10 position. And again, I'm not inclined to move off that.
Yeah, it's really the K rate with his bat. He strikes out
it is
entirely
high.
Too much. And, you know, because you look at the raw metrics, he is, he was like 2nd in barrel rate behind Judge. He hits the ball really hard. And when he hits it, like, he's hitting the gaps. Like, it's like he's gonna go gap to gap. He can hit the homer. He didn't have as many homers this past year. But that's kind of, it seems like almost a Toronto philosophy. Like, their hitting philosophy is more gap to gap. So, you know, maybe he gets to a different team in free agency and they unlock his homer again.
Go to Tampa, pull the ball in the air.
I mean, apparently they can make any guy great. So,
right.
But yeah, defensively is still excellent. that's not going to change anytime soon, I wouldn't think. So you're kind of getting him for the defense, and then if he can give you, you know, a solid offense, it's kind of like a bonus.
You'll take it.
Like if he can elevate himself to maybe one of those Oakland seasons one time, two times throughout a contract, you're really taking that as a W.
For sure.
But yeah, no, still a great player and still consistent. He's going to give you a really solid season.
He's never had a season below 100 WRC plus, which I know is like league average, but like he's always been an above average hitter.
I think he was in Oakland for that as well. So
he was.
The Coliseum is pretty brutal at times.
He was. So like he's always been above average, always provided at least a little bit of power and has had those major power outputs. It's just, he strikes out, but he plays arguably the best defense in baseball. So just like, I think people were looking at him in the wrong light.
Yeah. And so, I think we maybe jumped the gun as well, trying to put him potentially in the top three. Like, it was he was trending.
Especially after 2019, we thought for sure, but then of course 2020 happened and he dealt with some injuries as well. So,
But yeah, still an excellent player. And then at number 10 on the list,
arguably the new best defensive third baseman in baseball.
Yeah, my guy, Ke'Bryan Hayes. I am a huge supporter of Ke'Bryan Hayes this year. I think he's going to take a big step forward. Like Nick said, he is moving into that role as like the Nolan Arenado of like the 2010s, where you're like, this is the guy who's the best defender.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how good Ke'Bryan Hayes is. And he finally had his bat catch up.
Solid last year.
Yeah. He had a 102 WRC plus, which is nothing crazy, but it's just the steady progression of his bat, because he started with like a pretty weak bat last year. Yes. Weak, 14 but not points, as weak. And then
14 this, points from 2022 and his WRC plus.
This year he became an average hitter with his amazing defense. And I can see his bat continuing to improve. He found his power game. That was a big thing that they were looking for from him. He found it last year, especially as a doubles hitter. So I'm pretty excited for him going forward, because his ceiling is very high with his defense. If he has like a 120 WRC plus, that's probably like close to a 6 WAR season for him, because his defense is that elite. So I'm really excited to watch him this year.
Pirates are confusing, man. It feels like they could, you know, help out their roster.
They got some young talent
there.
Yeah. There's something there.
O'Neill, Cruz, Ke'Bryan Hayes. They locked up Brian Reynolds long-term. Don't they have another outfielder that was decent?
Sawinski actually had a pretty good year. I don't know if that's who you're talking about.
Henry Davis, obviously former number one overall pick, struggled last year.
Skeens now in their
yeah, Paul Skeens. Well. Like it feels like they could. They just aren't, because
they aren't supplementing those players with free agents.
Right. It's like they're using McCutcheon. Yeah, they're using McCutcheon's reunion to like save face, but that obviously Kutch means a lot to that city and that organization.
And he was good last year.
Yeah, you can't hide behind that as your one big move. Like, Kutch isn't the MVP he was. Yeah, they're definitely trying to. So, Pirates are a team to watch. And Ke'Bryan Hayes, he needed to be on this list. Like, I was looking at that 10 spot, seeing who had an argument, but he's probably the best defensive third baseman in baseball right now. So, he needs to be on this list.
And I'm assuming that you were also debating between him and Josh Jung, who you told me was honorable mention. So if you want to go ahead and talk about him.
Yeah, just real quick. Josh Jung, World Series champion. He
All-star
kind
team
of falls,
last year.
Yeah, he all-star last year. He falls into that show me more category. A little bit older than some of these other guys. Made his debut at the tail end of 2022, only 26 games. And then only 122 last year, so I would like to see that over a full season. The K rate's still really high, but his splits improved mightily from his time in 2022. And you know, he's not as young as some of these other prospects, but like he's still young in MLB years. So how he adjusts to the game and learns pitching, and obviously you have some great teammates to learn from: Corey Seager, Marcus Semien. You know, those guys, I would imagine he takes another step forward. It's just how big of a step forward. Can he cut that K rate down, or are we going into Matt Chapman range, where Jung plays good defense, but he's not like platinum glove level defense. So it's like, Yeah, just show me more. But he had a really strong, I guess he was technically rookie status. Like, yeah, because he was in that conversation. Yeah. So 23 home runs and 70 RBIs in a rookie season. Yeah, fine. Like 770. Yeah, 770 OPS. Yeah. Yeah, like I think he needs to be on everyone's radars as a guy that could take another leap forward in 2024.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Well, yep. All right. So we've got our 10 top 10 third basemen complete. Next time we will be heading into the outfield. We're going to be doing
good stuff. Full
rankings for all outfield positions together. Might go to a top 15 for that. I don't know.
I think, yeah, we'll do top 15 and yeah, just rattle
we might off. We might rattle them off a bit quicker, but yeah, we're going to be combining all those. So make sure to hit the subscribe button, hit like, check us out on Twitter/X, check us out on TikTok at District Nationals.
District Baseball.
District Baseball.
We cover the Nationals.
Yeah, we do cover the Nationals. and like Nick said, we will have a Nationals-based episode next week, audio only. So make sure to check us out on any podcast platform to get ready for that. So we'll be starting our Nats coverage for the season. But that'll do it.
Yes, yeah, sir.
We'll see you guys next time. Peace.
See you guys.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.